God said, what was that? You rejected the very thing that I gave you because it didn't come in the form that you asked for.
What's up?
Hey, Mom.
What's up?
Welcome to Moms Actually. My name is Morgan.
And I'm Blair.
And we have Megan Ashley. What? How? I don't know. God? I don't know. Like,
dream
what?
Guest.
This is crazy.
Yes,
but we are so grateful that you are here. Thank you so much for coming to just hang with us.
Yes.
This is,
I mean, who wouldn't want to hang out here?
I
set it up pretty nice.
You know,
nice.
We try.
It's very nice.
Now, we want you to introduce yourself. Tell the people. I know the people know who you are.
Yeah.
But for the one.
Okay.
Just, you know.
My name is Megan Ashley. I am a content creator. Yeah. I am a lover of Christ. I'm a mom. And I have some amazing kids. And I am, I guess my job is to share my journey.
Yes.
And so that's what I'm doing.
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, welcome back. Like I said, we are really excited to just get right into the episode. But we always give you guys a little moment to do something very important.
Yes.
And if you don't know what that very important thing is, I want you to tell them, Blair.
Press that button.
Subscribe.
Subscribe.
We're going to wait.
Yep.
All right, cool. Now, let's get into some really good conversation. But before we get into the conversation, before we start just, you know, asking you all the questions and getting in your business, we'd like to just do a little bit of something. So these paddles here are here for a reason. They are, what are we doing?
We're going to play a little game
okay.
so that, you know, we can get comfortable, icebreaker kind of thing. So it's called It's Giving Motherhood.
Okay.
And so we're going to ask you some yes or no questions. We're going to ask you some either or questions. Okay. The gold is yes or the first option. The white is no or the second option.
Got it. Okay.
You ready?
Gold, yes. White, no.
Yep.
Got it.
Okay. Question number one.
Okay.
Have you ever felt judged for your parenting style?
Oh, for sure.
100%.
I'm like, does every...
Probably.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. But it's like always for different reasons, which is why nobody can win. Like, I travel a lot, so people will be like, you know, you never home with your kids or something like that. People are home all the time. Why don't you... Mm-hmm. Go out and get a life. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't win.
Yeah.
I feel like I was judged the most, or I felt the more judgment when I was younger.
I was going to say, for being an almost teen mom.
Yeah, almost teen mom. So I was 20 when I had Layla, and I feel like everybody would always just try to tell me what to do. Like, I did, like the simple things that, you know, moms, the intuition just kind of kicks in, even if you don't all the way know what you're doing.
Yeah.
It was just always like, oh, you sure you know, or you better make sure. Or it was just always that. And I'm like, guys, I know.
Yeah.
This is my daughter. I'm not going to let her, you know, be out here.
It's it's the, you know, six in one hand, half a dozen in the other. You want the help.
Yeah.
But you don't want the overbearing opinions. And it's like, if I ask you for help, give it to me.
Yes.
If I don't ask.
Then don't do it.
Keep it to yourself.
Please.
Keep it to yourself.
Yes.
Okay? I'm trying.
Yes.
That's all that matters. I'm trying.
I agree.
Yeah.
Did you always want kids? Yes.
No.
We know your story.
Yeah, I was like, I'll start with the yeses.
Yeah, I always wanted kids.
Yeah.
Ever since I was young, that was like the only, or one of the things that my mom said that I used to say all the time, like, I couldn't wait to be a wife and a mom.
Aww.
That's
and
noble.
So, I just always, but I was always good with kids too. Mm-hmm. Ever since, at a young age, I was always the one that had all the little babies at church, you know, with me. So I was
Did you have a number? Like, you knew you wanted like 4 or 5 or...
I think when I was young, I wanted to have as many as I could.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then when I got older.
Because that doesn't mean anything to your body at that time.
It's like, this is what happens when I
show
have
up.
Wanted a big, because I'm a mom's only child. So I'm raised
only
like
child
an only
too.
Child. So
gotcha.
I think you, as an only child, you kind of always desire a big family, a big, you know.
No.
Siblings.
She's like,
no, I was like, yeah, no. I was like, what did I just
like
say yes
myself.
To?
You're like, I like being by myself.
Yes, I wasn't the extroverted only, like the one who liked to be out around people, but my parents also didn't have friends. So I just grew up in a very like silent lifestyle in general.
Yeah.
No cousins, no nothing.
We had a lot of like, everybody was like, my mom had a lot of friends and they became family.
You guys were the house.
Yeah. Like
you had all the aunties.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like all the, you know, so I just always wanted a big family at a young age.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
You wanted the kids too?
Yeah. I thought I wanted at least 4 or 5. And then I realized quickly.
Instantly.
Like, as quick as I did not snap back is how quickly I knew that I did not want that many.
For sure.
Yeah.
For
so
sure.
That was me.
And you have, yours are around the same age, I think, is mine.
11, 7, and 5.
Yeah, and I have 13, 10, and 9.
Yep.
And so when they're little like that at the same time.
Then 2 in diapers.
Ooh.
That's what actually made me potty train my middle quicker.
That's what
because as soon as my son came and they were both into, I said, oh no.
Mine pooped not, at the same time.
Yeah,
because I wanted
that.
My kids close together.
Yep. Like, I
was
twins,
like, I'll pay for
too.
It up front for it to be.
Oh, you definitely gonna pay for it.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
And it was,
no.
But
yeah, 100%.
But no, I didn't want any. I knew how much responsibility it was.
Yeah.
Like, I knew it was gonna be work and I want to do it. Like, think about it. You're only child. I've never had to really consider anybody else. I knew that about myself.
You're like, nope, I don't want to.
I love that you're self-aware enough to know that.
Oh, yes. Very.
Because I think naive is the other side.
That's
like, you think you jump into it thinking it's going to be like,
easy.
Oh, because it's something I've always wanted.
Yeah.
And then it's like, yeah.
Mm-mm. No. I know I'm giving because I want to be. Mm-hmm. When you have kids, it's not a choice.
Yeah.
No.
It's not a choice at all.
Having to become a morning person.
Yeah, I didn't. The two things, I did not want to take my kids to the bus stop early in the morning.
Yeah.
And I did not want to do car seats in the rain.
Oh, that makes sense.
I was very, like.
Very specific.
So you already had that
yes.
in your mind before you even experienced it. You were like, 100%. I don't want to do that.
I don't want to do that.
I understand. And that is
motherhood.
That's
okay. Yeah, it is.
That's like, you have to do a bunch of stuff that
a
you don't want.
A bunch of stuff you don't want to.
But do you feel like because you realized that up front, it made you more prepared going into motherhood? Because you already, like, I feel like you were already assessing out all the things that
I would
you didn't
say
want to do.
The only reason, the only reason it didn't, so I was surprised, so my birth control failed, and that's, you know, a whole story.
Okay.
And then I think when I had them, I had postpartum anxiety. So that kind of threw me off. Otherwise, I thought I was prepared for it only because I'm very, like, analytical and strategic and prepared. So I'm like, oh, I can do this if I do it like this. Like, but then the postpartum anxiety just kind of threw me off. And I realized, as a person who never needed help, like, I can figure out how to do anything. Like, I can zip my dress up if I have to. I can do all the things. And then I realized, like, oh, I need help. And that was a weird thing to need help and to have to ask for help. Yeah.
Especially when it's for you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because I'll help anybody.
I identify with that a lot, for sure.
So do you feel like the expectations of mothers are unrealistic?
Absolutely.
I'm like, is this a question?
I mean, I feel like the world forgets that we are women. The world forgets that we are human.
Yeah. Human. Yeah.
Like, point blank and period. But I said woman first because once you become a mom, it's like you are a mom. It takes away all the other things. Mm-hmm. We don't have any other issues. And I feel like you say it all the time. You didn't realize your mom was a woman until you were older.
Have you ever thought about that? Like, when you were asking for things as a teenager, a little kid, like, your mom might have been going through it with her best friend or her husband or whatever.
Yeah.
Like,
had a bad
I never considered that until, like, a year or two ago.
Until
ever.
You actually go through things
I mean,
as
I've been going through stuff before that, and I still didn't think about it.
What do you
think?
What was it that made you?
I have no... Maybe we were... I think this platform, because we're focused more on the woman, so I started thinking more about it, and I was like, man, my mom probably...
Was going through.
Yeah. And because now we're like, she tries to talk to me more, and I'm like, man, you were probably like, and I'm complaining about going to a party, and you're like, I just
or I didn't take
with
the chicken
my,
out.
Yeah,
the
chicken out the freezer. I mean, but I realize that's a thing now.
Oh, it really
I saw that.
Is. No, but truly,
I should have took the meat out the freezer.
it's awful how society treats us at times, and then even just like, even relationships, and there's just so much.
Yeah.
We get the short end of the stick.
I think that that's a thing that we see a lot is this yearning for identity with women. And because when we get married, we lose our last names.
Yeah.
When we have kids, we lose our first names.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
that's
you lose
good.
Your identity. I lost my last name. I lose my first name.
That's
who am I now?
Yeah.
And I think that people don't consider the impact that just life has on a woman.
Yeah.
Because there's so much of us that we have to serve all the time in so many capacities, in so many ways. And that identity thing
is lost.
And I think that that's the thing that we're really searching for that we can't.
Especially since most of us don't find our identity before marriage and kids because we're so focused on trying to get marriage and kids.
Yep. So you do whatever you have to do
to
and become whoever you have to become to get the thing that you
And then
think
you
want.
Have no foundation to rest on when things happen. It's
when
like, dang, now I got to find out who I am. I'm amongst all of this stuff. Mm-hmm.
Which is why when postpartum depression comes in, it's that grounding in reality that you still have to be taken care of.
Yes.
You are still a person.
Yep.
And you have to figure out who you are, and it's not predicated on you being a mom and you being a wife, because those things clearly didn't sustain you when you were going through postpartum depression.
Nope,
you know
I could functionally do things, but I didn't have a like a grounding.
Right, didn't it didn't give you the. It wasn't the solution. It wasn't the medicine to fix it.
Exactly.
It, obviously, it helped. Like you love your family.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as moms, we can get on a soapbox and it's like, so do you even like your
kids? Yeah, you got to go with them. But I love my kids.
Yeah.
It's like, Michael wants to say that a lot less because people will look at you like.
But it's like, how are we going to get anywhere if we're not being honest?
Right. And that is.
I think that's what made me, I talk so much about self-care now because of the fact that when I went through postpartum depression so bad, I realized, I was like, none of that little cute stuff works. I have to look within and figure out what is going, because a lot of the times the depression and all that stuff that does happen, postpartum is already a thing. Whether or not you tag on anxiety or depression on top of it, it's already a thing.
Yep.
So once I realized that and all these things were coming up, I was like, okay, I need to deal with these things. Mm-hmm. And it's going to take more than a massage.
And nine times out of 10, it has nothing to do with your children.
No. No.
It's like all the stuff that you avoided leading to this point is now the thing that you have to, like you can't escape you. And I think that that's the thing that I would want moms to know or people to know in general. You can't escape you.
Mm-hmm.
You're always going to find yourself.
Look at you jumping ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, you could.
But that is a thing that I'm like, and maybe because I'm in this season, so y'all are getting like a real raw version.
That's why we're here.
So you're getting a real raw version of me, but it's like you can't escape you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No matter where you turn, you will always find yourself.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so if you don't address those things, you know, it's a rude awakening. It's a rude awakening.
Rude.
And then you realize, like, did I go after these things with the purest intent?
That's true.
Now I'm a mom and I'm a wife and I'm not happy.
That's why. And you know how when you're young, everybody tells you enjoy your single season. Mm-hmm. You're like, yeah. But
you're like,
But now we get it.
Mm-hmm. Listen.
It's like, enjoy your single season. Like, enjoy it.
Not only just enjoy it, but be a good steward over your season.
Yes.
Over your life.
Yep.
Because you are going to find yourself in a position that you haven't even prepared yourself to be in.
Mm-hmm. At all.
You so busy wanting to be a wife and a mom, and you have done nothing.
Nothing.
address you.
Nothing.
And you wonder why you're not happy. You got all the things you were chasing.
You're supposed to come in whole.
Mm-hmm. That whole 50-50?
Like. No.
That whole you complete me?
No.
That whole you my better half?
No. Recipe for failure.
No. Okay. Because what happens, not even if
she's like,
person,
you want to eat that?
I think about, like, not even if the person leaves you, but if the person, it becomes sick and becomes a vegetable.
Then what?
Yeah.
Then what?
Then what?
Now you got to be a caretaker and you're taking care of the person that you needed the most?
That's true.
What?
And people change, like in seasons in marriage, like you're not the same people. So whatever they gave you in the first 2 years, they might not give you in the next 2 years.
So you're leaving yourself open to be filled completely by somebody who has every possibility of changing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like people don't, I tell people this all the time. Because I've been married and I'm no longer married. Mm-hmm. So I feel like when you go through a divorce, you kind of have some wisdom other people don't have, right?
100%.
And I think that it's extremely important to know that when you are saying yes to somebody, I'm going to get married to somebody, that you are saying yes to the possibilities of a person.
Yeah.
I am not just saying yes to who you are right now. Mm-hmm. I'm saying yes to who you could possibly be. And not only am I saying yes to you and your possibilities, but I'm saying that I'm going to commit myself to you through all of those possibilities.
Of these,
and we don't take that in consideration, which is why you see divorce happen like this.
Oh, no, I tell people, flies. Marry them assuming they'll never change.
Assume they, like, and nothing, assume that like, nothing will get
worse,
better.
Yeah, the worst thing about them, imagine it's going to stay. Because we are like, oh, when we get married or when they get a little bit, we put all these expectations and then they're the same person.
And you're disappointed.
Yeah.
Or women, and I've been guilty of this too.
We all been.
I'll say this. I ain't even going to just say what I've been guilty of it. But like wanting to be married so bad or wanting that thing so bad, wanting the baby so bad, wanting the marriage so bad or whatever, that you're willing to become not your authentic self to gain those things. So then when your authentic self shows up and what you got inauthentically.
That's a cool girl.
Now you are
the crazy one.
You crazy. That's why I say show your crazy up front. Don't be the cool girl. Go to Vegas, boo. It's okay. Have fun. Do this. We are so malleable and flexible so that someone will love us or like us. And then eventually you got to be yourself or whoever your fallback is, because most of the time we don't know who we are. It's just
Well, you have to also ask yourself, do I like me?
Yeah.
Do I even like myself?
And I don't always like myself.
And I say I get on my last nerve.
Yeah.
Like on a regular.
Yeah.
I am on my own nerves all the time.
What is going on?
So you know what I'm saying? Yes. Until I get on my nerves. So I can only imagine the people in my life.
Yeah.
If I were to ever get married again, I would never enter in that space without fully knowing who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And fully having an identity of Megan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not Megan as a mom.
Yeah.
Not Megan as a content person.
Yeah.
Not Megan as a whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Who am I?
Yeah.
Just on my own.
Yeah.
Do I even like myself?
Yeah.
Do I respect myself?
Right. Oof.
Do I respect my decisions?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think would save, and addressing those questions would save a lot of people from a lot of heartache.
Okay. Do you take time for self-care that isn't tied to regular life maintenance? Like your nails, maintenance. Showers, maintenance. A massage, maintenance.
Mm. And I'm going to be honest, because I actually saw something about that not too long ago when they were like, self-care is not taking a shower.
Yep.
Self-care is not, you know,
I'm big on it.
Getting your nails done or getting your hair done. That's not self-care.
Yeah.
That's just life maintenance. Yeah. That's adulting.
You get back home and you're still the same person.
Yes.
So it's not self-care. Self-care is supposed to actually like transform.
I call it soul care.
Yeah.
How soul are you caring for your soul?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Real time happening. I'm how do I? Well, I guess if self care is soul care, then I would say the time that I spend with God would be like my self care.
Yeah.
So I guess I would say that.
Too. Yeah. Like just stuff like that, even sharing. Because I was like, mom's actually, it's work, but it's my self care.
Yeah.
Like it's what I do. It transforms me. It opens my mind to things that meet people. It's transforming me. It's taking care of me so I can be better as a person.
Yeah. And all the roles that you have to play in your life, for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would say I definitely, y'all know me. Y'all know me.
Yeah.
I'm pro self-care, soul care, because I realize that I just cannot do without.
Yeah.
I live too many, I play too many roles. Mm-hmm. I wear too many hats. And I have found myself in the darkest of moments that I'm like, if I don't do this, I will indeed be crazy.
Yeah.
Or I just won't go forward and live to my fullest potential. And everyone is going to not benefit in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
Like everybody is going to really, really, I'm going to bleed all over people, essentially.
They're
going to
suffer.
And I don't want to do that, especially not over people that I really love and care about. I just know what me not caring for myself looks like. It's not
good. Yeah.
And that's why nails can't do it.
The nails can't do it. They look cute, y'all. Yeah.
And I understand everybody can't, people think because they can't afford, it's a special money spend. Sometimes they think it's self-care. It's like, no, it's still maintenance.
Yeah. Especially too, if you're going into those spaces, like not even at least, I'm going to get off my phone. Allow this pedicure. Maybe this is the only self-care I can do, but I'm going to allow this pedicure. I'm going to sit here. I'm not going to be on my phone.
Yeah.
I'm going to control my thoughts. I'm actually going to think about what I'm thinking about. Mm-hmm. I'm going to actually take inventory of my life right now.
Yes.
Because this is the time I have to do it. Mm-hmm. So if you do have, if pedicure is that, just take full advantage.
Yes.
If the shower is all you can do that take full advantage of that shower.
Practical advice.
Take advantage of those moments, because I know how it is as a mom. Sometimes that shower is all you got.
The car ride.
The car ride home from work. Mm-hmm. I used to utilize those moments.
Me too.
That's my favorite moment.
Oh, what? I usually numb out those moments. I like disappear in those moments.
Yeah, like I don't know how
brain
I got
just,
home.
I empty my brain in those moments. Man, I don't want to think about men.
I talk to myself. I talk to God. Yeah. But it's just that taking that, I knew that I needed that time when I used to work. Mm-hmm. And I was working like a 9-to-5. I needed that time from that environment before stepping into mom environment.
Yeah. Clock it in.
I needed that in between to be like, okay, let's have a Megan moment.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Let's just be Megan for a second.
TM, Megan moment.
You know, like, let me just be a Megan moment for a minute. Yeah. I got you. Mm-hmm. I heard it. I received it. I got it, downloaded it. Yeah. But yeah, I just taking those moments to just be not a mom, not a wife, not an employee, not an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Take a moment and just, who are you?
What are you feeling right now?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good point. I'm glad you said that, because we hear all the time, especially the single moms, they're like, I don't have the time to do all of that. I'm like, sometimes the gym, like, and even if it's not the gym and it's me literally right before I go to bed, putting on a YouTube, like little 5 to 10 minute ab workout or something, and then finishing with a bedtime yoga, like that's my moment.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. But
they got stretches from bed, girl. They you don't even got to get out of bed to work out anymore.
I have YouTube them.
I'm that lazy sometimes.
It's so good.
They do. They got workouts from bed, core work. Like they
that's good.
There's really no way.
Yeah. That's the thing. We learned yesterday. No excuse.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sometimes it's not that you don't have time. It's just that you're not organized.
Yeah, not organized or got
you
excuses.
You don't organize your time. Yeah.
You don't really want to do
it. You don't want to do it.
Yeah. Because if you want to do something, you'll do it.
Yeah. I don't want to work out.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
Which is why I don't.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to do it. I have equipment in my garage. Mm-hmm.
Don't get touched.
It won't.
Yeah. I have to be and held, I should be accountable to someone to do it.
It's like, just go do it. You didn't got it in your house. You don't even got to go nowhere.
See, I have to be held accountable. Someone's got to like go with me because I don't want to do it either.
We've been doing so good.
Well, because I made friends at the gym, so now I feel like if I don't go, they're going to be like, that girl didn't show up. Yeah. But I have to be held accountable. Things I don't want to do by somebody else.
Yeah, I'm the same.
I won't do it.
Okay, have you ever caught yourself saying phrases your own parents used to say?
Yes.
You don't even know what a headache is.
Yeah.
I used to get so offended because I had headaches.
Right. I really do have one.
But now, like, I think 5 years ago, I realized they meant, like, life.
Yeah.
You know, you haven't been through life to have a headache.
Yeah.
But, like, if you're sick and you laugh a little bit and, oh, you're not sick no more.
Yes.
You're good like, now, huh?
Something was just funny. That's it. I still have strep throat. Yeah. Something was just funny. Like, I'm not immune to laughing. Relax. Yeah, but that's how I get it. That's how parents, especially black parents.
Yes.
It's like, girl, you fine. I'm not fine.
I'm
my temperature is 105. I'm not fine. And ginger ale's not going to do it.
Water. I just have to drink some water.
Like, I had the mama that, like, when I had pink eye, I would go to bed, right? I would open my eyes. Mm-hmm. I would see clear. Would close my eyes, go to sleep. I would open them up, and it was olive oil because she has anointed my eyeballs. I said, so not only do I have pink eye,
I got olive oil in my eyes.
But now you're adding on to some sort of infection. With olive, a simple prayer would have sufficed. I'm sure God would have done it.
Yeah. No, my kids can be sick, and I'm like, we still have in school. They're homeschooled. I'm like, we still have in school.
There is not.
I don't play. I'm like, you still doing whatever you guys need to do.
They got the timer on.
I always tell them they are fine.
I be feeling so bad from Noble and Kofi. I be like,
dang. Unless something's really happening, I just don't, like, I'm just like, something is really happening, I just believe words matter and excuses. And I'm just like, I don't know if they're really sick.
Yeah.
Maybe I missed it.
Yeah,
I'm like, let's go. During COVID, we started that. I found a girl who was in school to be a teacher online.
Mm-hmm.
And she came and she's been with us for 2 years.
Really?
Yeah. My daughter really is. I feel bad, though. I feel like it puts her at a deficit in life. So she's Mensa. She's a genius because she has, like, I think it's because she has higher than level, like, comprehension.
Mm-hmm.
She's not like the kids on Ellen where I'm, like, going to name every single country or whatever.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But once people know you're, like, smart or genius, I feel like it's, like, I'll be like, no, but what's 6 times 3? She'll be like, elephant. I'm like, see, you're making me look like an idiot. I feel like there's just so much pressure once you're supposed to be smart. Yeah. And so I've been working on being like, you're a hard worker. You're all this other stuff, not you're smart or not you're this. Okay, would you go back and change one thing, anything? And you could still get, how about this? Because people are like, oh, I still want to be where I am today. Mm-hmm. If you could change one thing and still be where you are today, would you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. I would, I mean, there's a few things.
It's just like more than one. Dodged, you know?
Would you guys change anything if it changed for you? Where you don't know if you'd be here or not?
Oh, I know for sure. If I would have never met this person, I would still be here. Sorry.
I don't know what to do after that. Go to the next question.
Sorry.
I mean, yeah, there's definitely like little nuances in my life that I'm like, my life would probably still be the same. Yeah. You were unnecessary.
See?
Yeah. You know, yeah, like some, but then again, it's like you don't know, you know, so every—
Would you risk it all?
Yeah, it's like, I think whatever, if I could change anything, as long as I have what I have with God right now, that's the only thing that I'm like, as long as that doesn't change, that's the most important thing. And being where I'm at, I know that so many of the stuff that was painful led me to this point, which is why it would be hard to be like, dang, I wish that didn't happen. But that led me here.
Yeah.
What about you, B?
Anything before the last decade, I might like risk it. But like the last decade has been like the most transformative I've had. So it's like I wouldn't change anything good, bad, ugly about the last decade. Yeah. But like before that, like, man, if I could get away from some of that and still have gotten to the last decade, then I'd 100% change some things because life was
life. Life. All right. Girls night in or girls night out?
Girls night in all day.
Yeah.
Girls night out while in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, so I want to go somewhere and then
come back to the house.
Yeah. Like,
so middle. I'm like, with you on the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I like being able to get dressed up and, you know, really let my hair down. But then I want to come back to the house and chill.
Yeah.
Like, all
I like a dinner and then pajamas at the house.
That.
Like, let's go dress up and do dinner.
Yes.
And then let's come back to the house.
Yes.
Like, we got some cute pictures.
Got some cute pics.
Yeah.
It looks like we're social.
Yeah. Have you ever used your kids as an excuse to why you can't show up to something?
All the time.
Y'all know my answer.
Mine too, yes. But it's still the truth.
Yeah.
It's like still true, but sometimes.
It's like, I have kids, so I can't make it.
It's not as easy. Can't just pop up.
And we have really gotten into conversation, so it's been great because we're already like here. But I do want to ask you, as you have continued to grow your career and being a mom and all the things, and you're just out there right now.
Out.
She's like, I'm out.
Out there.
Is there anything that you don't often get to talk about that you're like, you know what? I want Megan to talk about this more. I want people to hear this from Megan. Is there anything like that?
I feel like I have been feeling lately that I'm super redundant. Like I say some of the same things or... As I'm 33 and I've experienced a lot, but like the major points in my life, like my son having autism or being pregnant at 19, like these are things that people know that are out there. Yeah, like I got pregnant at 19.
Well, see, that shows you feel redundant, but there's still
Yeah.
In marketing, you got to say something, I think, 3 to 6 times before
it sticks in someone's head. So sometimes I'm like, when you ask me, I'm like, I don't know what I don't get to talk about because I feel like I've had the opportunity to kind of say everything, but probably like motherhood is something I don't think I've been able to really dive a lot into, which is why I was really excited to come to come here because, you know, I have 3 boys, you know, and they're everything.
I will say when I look at like your profile and I've been following you for a little bit, I'm like, how does she do the boy mom thing, all different ages, but you are like on the go. You're similar to us. We're always on the go, always doing things. What does the balance look like? What is your off, you know, season look like?
Yeah, I feel like I've experienced motherhood in like very drastic seasons, like being a mom and then being a stay-at-home mom and then being a working mom and being an entrepreneur mom. Like I feel like I've experienced it in so many different seasons.
And a single mom.
And now I'm a single mom.
Yeah. You've been all the moms.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, Lord. It's like, where's the manual? But I feel like in this season of my life, it's different again. Mm-hmm. And being a single mom and navigating my presence in what I'm supposed to do here. And without help, it is impossible. That's all I can say. Like, yeah. I have a child that has special needs.
Yeah.
It would be impossible to do this alone. Yeah. So I'm thankful that their dad is, like, super present and a great dad to them. Like, yeah. you know, he's very hands-on, super involved. So that's a help because I know a lot of times single moms don't even have that yes. part of it. Mm-hmm. So, like, I always want to, like, honor him for that part
because
he needs, like, they need their dad. Yeah. And yeah. he's 100% there. So mm-hmm. that is super helpful. And then I have Jordan, who's like my fourth child. Mm-hmm. She's grown, but mm-hmm. she's like my kid and she helps me. Mm-hmm. And it's like, she just can help and I don't even have to ask anything. Mm-hmm. She can just sense, like, even if I'm having like a really bad day, mm-hmm. she just is like, I already got that. I already did this. Don't worry mm-hmm. about that. I'm going to go do this. I got this. Da 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 da. Do you need this? Like, she just can just mm-hmm. sense without me having to be like, or even breaking down. Mm-hmm. I can still be actively doing something.
She's like,
I'll do that.
Yeah.
You can go do this. Yeah. And I'll go, you know what I mean? And so help, you know what I mean?
The village.
The village. Mm-hmm. And then, because I haven't always been balanced. I feel like I am an extremist. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I tend to either go all out.
Yeah.
I don't know how to be halfway in, halfway out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or what that balance sometimes is. And I know that my children have sacrificed a lot of me mm-hmm. because when I'm dedicated to something, I'm all in.
Yeah.
yeah.
You know, and so they've had to sacrifice so much of me, mm-hmm. like just their mom not being present.
Yeah.
Even being there, just not being present. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like what I'm trying to do now with this new season that I'm in is I try to be mindful. Like I have my office is attached to my home, but detached from
yeah.
my home.
Okay. Mm.
And so I have a lock on it. Don't come in my, don't just walk in my office.
Okay.
You knock.
Right.
And I will grant you permission or I won't.
Amen.
So that,
boundaries.
But it's boundaries for me for sure. But my youngest son comes to my door often.
Yeah.
And he don't be wanting nothing.
Nothing.
And I be in the middle of
something.
Yeah.
But he
yeah.
wants me.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I caught my, or recently in the last couple months, I would catch myself being like, what? Like, mm-hmm. or, you know, like, yeah. oh, just hold on or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's now I'm forcing myself to like, get up, open the door, hug him, acknowledge oh. him, because he wants something.
Yeah.
yeah.
You know, and so even he's worth that 2
yeah.
minutes.
Yeah.
He's exactly. worth that minute where before I used to be like, I just got to get this done or I got to mm-hmm. do this and yes. this and this and this. And then he, and like, yeah. he's outside the door like, hey,
yeah.
it's me, your kid.
Yeah, Noble started calling me out on that because I like had my phone and she's like, I know you're working from your phone, but I need you to put it down because
yeah.
I want you to watch this or whatever. And then yeah. if I don't put it down, she'll just stare at me until I like,
okay,
put
yeah,
it
I'll
down.
Wait
until you give me your full attention.
Yes, then like but I love that. About,
oh,
like
yeah.
I like that for her, for who it'll be. But it made me realize, like she was asking if she could help me cook the other day. And usually it's my time to like zone out or whatever.
Yeah.
So I prefer not
like,
to.
I don't want to be an instructor right now.
I don't.
But I tell like, my kids when I don't. I'm like, let's do that on the weekend.
Yeah.
Right
not
now
today.
We just need to get
fed.
But she's six. She's only going to be there for a minute.
Right.
Before it, so I was
yeah.
like,
she's
I just need to like give
yeah.
that second because I do, when you work from home, you work a lot and it's
yeah.
hard to turn it off. And I'm like, what's a couple of minutes?
Yeah.
Even if it turns to 10.
Just cut this
like,
right
because I also stay up till 3 a.m. so I can have a lot of alone time.
You
so
do.
I'm like, mm-hmm. I figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. It's just learning mm-hmm. how to actually create the balance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I think we're trying to find the balance.
Yeah.
It's like, you got to create it. Create mm-hmm. your balance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my balance is, if I see my kids come to my door, I'm getting up.
Yeah.
And I'm going to create a moment for mm-hmm. us where at least he knows anytime I came to her door, she at least got up and acknowledged me. Whether
yeah.
whether she did what I wanted her to, because
yeah.
most of the time it's like, can you come play basketball with me?
Yep.
Absolutely not.
No, the answers don't know.
The answer is no.
But you're going to
no.
get this
I'm
hug.
Not, but I, you
I'm
gonna
not
going to
play
hug.
Horse with you.
Yeah. I'm not playing Fortnite. I'm not playing.
This ain't your moment, baby.
No, sorry.
I'm not doing it. But you are worth this moment
yes.
of acknowledgement in love mm-hmm. because you have value and nothing that I'm doing is more important than you. I've experienced the guilt being away mm-hmm. and then I've experienced even being home mm-hmm. not doing anything, that mm-hmm. guilt sits in.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like, girl, you better get up. You got yes. these kids to feed. Yeah. What are you doing just laying around? You mm-hmm. need to be, like, I would bury myself in the most unproductive works mm-hmm. just so that I could not feel guilty that I wasn't yeah. doing anything.
Ugh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I am like, sure. I do know what you mean.
There's so many
like,
women out there
out.
That do that.
Yeah.
Just to say that, oh, you know, now just I can,
yeah.
I check this off the list, yeah. so now I'm a good mom or, yeah. you know, whatever. And it's like.
But I would tell you, I would tell anybody, any mom, what God really impressed on me, like when I was asking him for some heavy stuff mm-hmm. to change in my life, like mm-hmm. I need you to show up and do something very, like I need the burning bush experience. Mm. I need something.
I said that to God on a walk.
You know what
the other
I'm saying?
Day.
Like, yo, I need some, yeah. like, I need the real.
Like, I need
yeah.
proof.
Yeah. yeah. I want to, see, I need you, I need, something big. And often when I was in those like very desperate moments yeah. of needing God, he would tell me the most basic instructions. Mm-hmm. Clean your room. Go play basketball with Jonah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go sit on your son's bed and talk to him.
Yeah.
It would be little things like that. It wouldn't be go move a mountain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It would be go play basketball with Jonah.
Mm-hmm.
Go sit in your kid's room for a little bit and just yeah. spend time with them.
Mm-hmm. It's
and
interesting.
That would move things.
Yeah.
You know, it would lift this burden off of me.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it didn't fix my situation,
yeah.
it fixed my posture
yeah.
and it fixed the pressure that I felt. Like, he lifted it just by in the simple instruction of be a good steward over what I gave you.
Yep.
I gave you those kids.
Yeah.
You so busy trying to acquire all this other stuff, yeah. but I gave you that.
Mm-hmm.
And they need you.
What would you say to a mom who is kind of in a season where they are ready to give up on God because they don't see him moving?
Mm-hmm.
They want to go, they have a passion and they're like, okay, I want to go after this, but I'm not seeing any signs that I can make this work.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm a mom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What am I supposed to do?
What am I supposed to do?
I think the first probably real experience with that where I literally questioned God mm-hmm. was when my son was diagnosed with autism. And then mm-hmm. right after that, so the next year he was diagnosed with Fragile X syndrome. And so with Fragile X syndrome, y'all know that autism is like this big umbrella.
Yes.
It's a big spectrum and we all probably could fit on that
right.
spectrum at some point,
right?
right? Fragile X syndrome is where there's a dysfunction in the X chromosome.
Mm-hmm.
And so for boys, they only have one okay. X chromosome.
Right.
So when there's a dysfunction in that, there's no, the Y chromosome
no
can't make up for mm. that dysfunction in the X chromosome.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't have the protein that produces brain development, which would make
wow.
him mentally handicapped. We didn't find that
wow.
out until after we found out he was autistic.
How old?
Wow.
So he was 2 when he got diagnosed with autism and
Man.
Then 3 when he was diagnosed with Fragile X syndrome. Now, this was the only child that I asked God for. This was the only child that it took time to get. Like, I tried and tried and tried and could not get pregnant. And I wanted Caleb so bad. Like, it was, I've never desired anything. It was literally like, God, you tell me whatever you tell me to do, I'll do it just to have this child.
Mm.
And so to have that child be the one that's diagnosed with these two things, it brought this intense offense
yeah.
that I had towards God.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I prayed to you. I asked you for this kid. You answered me.
Mm-hmm.
And then you gave me this. What's that about? Like, why did you even say yes then?
Yeah.
You could have just said no.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, now I feel like you're playing with me. You're
right.
playing with me. And I remember having this conversation with God mm-hmm. and being very mm-hmm. honest. And it borderline disrespectful. But it was very honest.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes you
gotta
be
there. I'm having this conversation and Caleb's in my lap and he's having a hard time and I'm rocking him. And I'm just mm-hmm. like, why, God? Why? And I remember him speaking to me very clearly and said, why not you? Jeremiah 29 kept coming back for I know the plans
mm-hmm.
that I have for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so although things may not look like he's doing anything,
mm-hmm.
although it may not, nothing feels like it's happening. He's not doing anything. Yeah. But if you decide to believe in him, then you have to decide to believe in him.
Yeah.
Even when you don't see it.
Yeah.
Even when you don't feel it. And you have to know that you know that you know that he created you and he created those kids.
Yeah.
And in that creation, he gave you the grace necessary to get through whatever you needed to get through for the assignment that he brought in your life. So when you don't see it, just know he's working.
Yeah.
He's doing something. You may not see it right now. Or ask yourself, am I looking for something specific?
Mm-hmm.
Because you might miss it looking
mm-hmm.
for something specific.
That's true.
Yeah.
I was looking for, I had begged God. This is just a quick example that I can think of. I begged God. Like, God, I just want to, my son is nonverbal. So I was just like, God, please, I just want to hear his voice. I just want to hear him say that he loves me. I just want to hear him talk. You know, I just want to hear, you know, if Caleb could just tell me he loves me, I would be so happy.
Mm-hmm.
We go to a speech therapy appointment and Caleb has a tablet that you can talk on. And they're working with him on this thing. And I'm out in the lobby and I'm ready to go because I have to go to work. And so she brings him out, the therapist brings him out, and she's so happy. And she's like, oh my God, we have something to show you. Da, da, da. I'm like, all right, girl, come on.
Yeah.
I got to get to work.
Yeah.
What do you need to show me? Come on, Caleb. And Caleb is kind of like being a little funny. He grabs the tablet and he says, I love you, Mom.
I knew that was coming. I'm so proud of him.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, let's go. All right, Caleb, get your book bag. That's so sweet. Get your book bag. Got in the car, dropped him off at school, and God chin checked me as soon as the door shut, as soon as Caleb got out. God said, what was that? You rejected the very thing that I gave you because it didn't come in the form that you asked for.
Yikes.
You asked for Caleb to say that he loves you, and he told you, but it came in through the tablet and not his vocal cords.
So
you rejected the very thing that I gave you.
My God.
So a lot of times we think he's not moving, and he is moving.
Jeez.
And the thing is, that seems so obvious. It's like, oh my gosh, but we do that
all the time.
So it's so easy to be like, girl, how'd you miss that?
Yeah,
but we do it every all the time.
Yeah, well, I set the story up for you. So, of course, you're going to be like, whoa,
exactly.
This is amazing. But when you're living it every day, you're like, get your book bag.
Yeah.
You're not talking.
Like, I'm still, like, you know, I need to stop this, actually.
Yeah.
Right.
That was cute. Yeah. Let's go.
But in that moment when God literally, like, arrested me in that moment, I was like, wow.
Yep.
You know what, God? You're right.
Yep.
And the, you know, the reverence that we have to have when he comes and does things for us and grants those prayers, we have to be on the lookout for them, even if it's not in the specific package. So just take your idea out and just say, God, whatever, however you can do this.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. One thing you guys, Jackie Hill Perry, when she was on the podcast, and she was talking about she thinks she's going to live a long time, and then was reminding basically everybody, like, life is about long suffering. Like, it's about suffering. It's not about this happiness and this feel good and all of this. Like, if Jesus suffered, why wouldn't we go through stuff? Like, because life is about a testimony. It's about helping other people. It's about sharing God's name. And if you don't go through anything, like, how are you really going to talk about the wonders and the miracles of God?
Not only how are you going to be able to talk about it, how do you know he exists?
There.
Yeah.
Period.
Like, honestly, how do we know God exists?
Everything would be us.
And I think even to put it into a more practical standpoint, y'all, especially the women who are like, I have this dream, I have this thing, or God, I'm asking you to do this thing for me, pay this bill for me, do this thing. And he gives you an idea and you sit on it.
Yep. Sit. Oh, we
because
will sit.
You'll sit on it, which that's the thing, that's the jar with the oil that could have paid not only your debt, but that you could live off of.
But it wasn't
and you
cute.
Decide, but it, oh, the, now I got to ask people for help.
Yeah. Like, I will never forget Carlos from the 85 South. We were randomly having this conversation. And he said, women, you know, it's so funny. Women talk about they want consistency. He was like, or they love consistency. They love consistency. He's like, but you ain't consistent with anything. You just like the benefits of someone being consistent with you. But you don't really love consistency. But I think that those are like questions that we should really ask. Do I really want that, or I just want the benefit of that? Because if I really want it, I'm going to be prepared to do whatever it takes to get that thing done.
Exactly. Period.
It's the top of the year, y'all. If this does not put any, you know, a little extra fire in you, like it should, because I think too much, and we're good on our platform. We always, you were telling you're doing a good job, and we're telling you all the things that encourage you. But you one thing that Blair and I wanted for this season.
Blair said, I'm going to be honest. You may not be doing a good job. You're actually doing a very terrible job.
But no, one thing we really wanted for this season truly is we wanted to be able to show you guys that it's more than just the fluff. It's more like there's, you have it in you, but we got to get it out of you. We can't continue to use our kids as an excuse. We can't continue to use the fact that we're burnt out that, because we're not using our time wisely. Period.
The time, the obedience, and...
Say that word again?
Yeah, it's obedience. It's like you don't have anxiety. You have a disobedience problem. You're not depressed. You're disobedient. You're not... broke, you're disobedient. Your kids aren't bad, you're disobedient.
We not playing this season.
No,
because we're, I think that we have to have, I think we have to have the real conversations because we are fluffing, everything is fluff, fluff, fluff. Because
everything's about feeling good.
You're amazing, you're great, you're the best, and everyone gets a trophy.
There's a moment for that.
There is.
There's a moment for that, but it's like, it's time.
But that can't be the life, like, push, you know, because it's actually not a push. It's not. Everything's good. Everything's safe. Everything's to make you comfortable and to support. Everything.
Everything is about convenience. Everything. And you cannot possibly, which is why you can't live in both worlds. You have to either be in the kingdom or you have to be out. Because being in both, you can't do both. I heard this quote, self-sacrifice is entry-level Christianity. It's like you have to be prepared to be uncomfortable. And if you're looking to feel good and you're looking to feel like comfortable.
That ain't it.
That's good luck.
So that brings me to probably my last question, but like, okay, a lot has changed. You've been through some things. Like, how do you feel right now? Like, where are you? Are you in the midst of the wilderness?
For sure, the wilderness. That's 100% accurate. That's a great way to describe that. I feel like the most important thing right now for me is I've been able to identify who my enemy is. And then I've been able to identify who the enemy has been using. And so I think that I have this ability and gift when it comes to awareness and self-awareness and being able to articulate certain things. Like, that's probably the common denominator people will say about me, your self-awareness. And I used to carry that like a very proud badge because I feel like so many people aren't self-aware. But then God checked me just recently and was like, you're self-aware? And I'm like, And he's like, so how come you don't see me the way I see you?
I wasn't ready for that part.
He was like, you only see, you're aware of all the negative things about you, but you're not aware of anything positive. So are you self-aware?
Why does the negative stuff stick so well?
I said, well, if you wanted to just read me for filth, you could have did that.
You can hear something good about yourself every day. One person says one bad thing one negative thought, and
but
that's it.
It's because we don't know who our enemy is, and we don't know that his goal and tactic is for us to not see ourselves the way God sees us. And so that's why that negative comment is going to stick out to you more than positive comments. Because guess what? The reality is you agree with it. The reality is you agree with it. And that's why you're focused on it. That is his tactic and his goal. He wants us to not see ourselves the way that God sees us. Because he knows he will never be seen the way that God sees us. He hates that. That's his whole thing. We have to learn how to see ourselves the way God sees us. And when I say we, I mean me, I am the chief of these.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
who doesn't see anything positive about myself ever. That's a problem. Right. And in doing that, you're training yourself to agree with a lie. Because every thought is not your own and every thought isn't God's.
Right.
So now when the enemy comes in and plants a thought, you are, because that's your pattern now, you're agreeing, you're coming into agreement with a lie.
Yep.
You're not worthy.
You're like,
you know, I'm not, I guess, because I've done this and I've done that and I've been divorced and, you know, I had sex out of wedlock and I maybe I slept with that guy and I shouldn't have and I'm, you know, I got fired from this job and I didn't do this right. Those are all facts. The enemy is the accuser
facts
of the brother.
Facts versus truth.
Yeah.
That's a fact. Maybe you are divorced. But the truth is that if you are in Christ, you are a new creature. Yes. Old things are passed away. Behold, I've made something new. Yeah. That's the truth.
Yep.
The fact is, yes, you're divorced.
Yeah.
But the truth is that before you were ever placed in the mother in your mother's womb, he knew you. He formed you and gave you the grace that you need. For everything that you've been sent out to do. And nothing is a surprise to him.
Yeah.
I love that you said that.
Yeah.
And the last thing that I'm going to ask you. You keep saying the last thing.
No,
last
I
thing.
Said last. Oh, you didn't have that. I said my last. Last so you still got to last.
My last thing that I'm going to ask is what do you think moms actually need to hear right now?
Man. I think moms need to hear that what's done in secret will come to light, right? And that I know it feels like no one sees how great you are. No one sees how like hard you work or no one sees how much you really do because it's expected for you to just do it. But he sees it all. And there is a great treasure that is waiting for you.
That's good.
Because you have been obedient to the most important call that anybody could ever say yes to. Saying yes and answering the call to be a mother, God has entrusted you with a life that he has a specific plan for to touch other people. Like he entrusted you with a ministry that's going to set generations free. He trusted you with this gift of life that is going to do so much for so many other people. You're doing something that is way bigger than what you will ever see on social media, TikTok, Instagram, whatever the case may be. What you are doing is important no matter who sees it, who applauds it. God honors it. He's looking at you smiling and honoring your obedience to that ministry of your children. And just know that he sees you and he hears you. And when you're in the closet crying and when you're in the shower crying and when you don't feel like you've done enough and when you feel like you're the worst mom ever, right? He sees you. And he knows your heart. Just keep loving those kids. Keep loving God. Keep being honest with him. And I promise you, what's done in the secret will always be revealed in the light.
Thank you for your vulnerability.
No, thanks for inviting me.
And thank you for your yes.
Yes.
For coming and doing this
thank
with us.
Thank you. Thank you for my gifts. My gifts were amazing.
Oh, yeah. You're welcome. We try to, you know, we try to treat people right.
I love, I do love well the by gifts. People. I'm big on like, hospitality. So
wow.
I appreciate that.
We help you fill up.
Yes, this is amazing. You so your team, everybody, I mean, your hospitality team, assistants, makeup, hair, everybody is just amazing.
Wow.
You guys have a great
we
team.
We love them.
Thank you.
Yeah. You guys are
our
a great
little
team.
Summer camp family.
I love it.
Yes,
I love it.
Yes, we love our fam.
I love it.
But you guys, thank you so much for watching.
Yes.
Thank y'all for tuning in. I hope and pray. I know that you were blessed. Make sure you guys share this with someone else. And yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Thank you again.
Hey, Ma.
What's up?
Hey, Ma.
What's up?